Now then, Kieran Burke in the garden every Friday on the programme joins me now. Kieran, you're very welcome once again.
Thank you very much, Johnny.
A small bit later than usual, but then again, we're having a very busy programme and it's a busy weekend here as well. Busy weekend all over the country, all over the world, if you're wearing the green, because it is, after all, Paddy's Day. And with St. Patrick's Day tomorrow, it's a busy day for some gardeners.
It is indeed, because of course, St. Patrick's Day is the day when you have to have your spuds planted, your early spuds.
Is there a deadline? Yeah, is it the deadline?
It's not really a deadline. But what, remember I brought you in some potatoes earlier on in the year, some seed potatoes. And what I've been doing with mine since then is that they've been sitting on a windowsill in plastic trays and they've been growing.
And the one
I have here in front of me is has the little green shoots on the top. And this is the process which we call chitting the potatoes. C-H-I-T-T-I-N-G, chitting potatoes. So it starts them into growth early. Because when I had those potatoes in earlier on, the soil was very cold. Much colder than it is now anyway. And the soil temperature that you need for potatoes to grow is about 7 degrees Celsius. And that's what we have at around now. I have a soil thermometer in the bed at home and it's 7.5 degrees Celsius. So that's why around St. Patrick's Day we plant the potatoes.
That's the soil bed you're on about now.
The soil bed, not the home bed. And
I say it's a lot hotter in the home bed.
I was going to say something there, all right. But in the soil bed out for the potatoes, they'll be going in at 7.5 degrees Celsius.
Okay.
And that's why St. Patrick's Day is that time of year generally when we get those temperatures. And the potatoes will be planted in, already growing in that. So having done this on the windowsill, I'll get my potato crop about 2 or 3 weeks earlier than if I hadn't chitted the potatoes.
Okay. Now then, a lot of people are talking about blight this time of year.
Well, blight, it's a concern for potato growers. It doesn't affect the potatoes at this time of year, but later on, towards the summer months, we might have a problem with blight, which is a fungal disease. And when the soil, or rather the weather, is warm and moist, the blight spores do spread for around the country. And you'll hear warnings on maybe the weather forecast telling people to spray their potatoes, and that's what people often have to do. And blight has been a problem, and of course it's associated with the Irish famine. It caused a huge failure of the potato crops for a couple of years, but it's still a problem. We do have sprays which we can use, but there has also been potatoes which were resistant to the blight. And the blight is a problem that just hasn't gone away and won't go away. And although there are some resistant varieties to the blight, a new strain of blight has come about. And this means that some varieties which were resistant aren't anymore. So it is, if you like, becoming a greater problem again than it has been.
Are genetically modified plants bad?
Well, this is an issue associated with potatoes at the moment about genetically modified plants, is that Chagas are going to do some potato trials, and they're going to test genetically modified plants. Now, when you talk about genetically modified plants, a lot of people get, if you like, very excited and angry about it. There's a huge distrust when talking about genetically modified plants. And if you look at it from one point of view, you could say, well, you know, we have potatoes, they get disease. If we can find a way through genetically modifying the plant that they won't get the disease anymore, doesn't this reduce our need for using pesticides? That sounds good. But on the other hand, there is the distrust of using genetic modification, in that if they feel like the money comes from the research often for genetic modification from big chemical companies. And what has happened with other plant species in other parts of the world is that the chemical companies buy up the rights for these genetically modified plants. And you can't even have them growing on your own ground. Even if they seed or hybridize with other plants on the ground, you have to destroy the crop. And it's happened with soya, beans and rice. So there's a huge distrust of growing them and a great resistance, particularly amongst organic growers, to growing genetically modified plants. And there's still also the issue, you are doing a little bit of kind of playing with God. So what are playing God, rather. So what does it mean long term for the plants? Is there a chance that these are sort of mutations which might be bad even for eating them or for the plants in nature, how they change? So it is a very contentious issue. So it is something I suppose people should be aware of and maybe form an opinion of.
People would be worried, you know, because down the line, like you mentioned there, if there was complications from eating these products, you know?
Yeah, we don't know. Yeah. And in one way, like a potato, if there are genetically resistant varieties, what maybe the plant breeders could say is we're just speeding up the natural way of plant breeding crossing one with the other by identifying the gene and then putting it into others. But what happens sometimes with genetic modification is they take a gene from a totally unrelated plant, maybe it's a wheat crop, and put it into a potato, and that's totally against what nature has controlled it. And that's when we don't know certainly what's going to go wrong. So many people be of the view, if you like, our genetically resistant, or rather our resistant crops should come through natural plant breeding rather than in the laboratory playing with the genes.
Okay. Is shamrock a plant, a weed, or just shamrock?
Shamrock. Well, shamrock is shamrock for one day only. Okay.
That's I like it. That. For it's one day only.
Only one day. For 364 other days, or in this case, this year it's a leap year, 365 days, shamrock is usually seen as a weed in the garden.
Love it.
And I have a piece of plant here, and that tomorrow we might call shamrock, but all the other days of the year we're going to call it clover.
Clover.
Yeah. And shamrock, like, is a native plant, and it grows around the different localities, but people from different localities will use different plants which they call shamrock.
Okay.
And when I was a student more than 20 years ago in the Botanic Gardens, one of the jobs I had was watering this collection of shamrock plants.
Right.
Because the botanist there at the time, Dr. Charles Nelson, he was collecting shamrock which people were sending in from different parts of the country, and he was getting totally different plants. So some people were sending in these clover, which Trifolium repens. Others were sending in wood sorrel, Oxalis acetosella. So there was no real kind of true shamrock. They're basically wild plants with three-lobed leaves, like
three
this.
Three-leaf clover.
Three-leaf clover, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And that's what they are. And so he was doing a great research into this clover. And you know what? From his research, the earliest mentioning and writing of association with St. Patrick and shamrock dates back to only 1726. There's no other record of it before.
Okay.
But we certainly have a long tradition of association with shamrock in Ireland, because from texts going back to pre-Celtic times, they do talk about the importance of the clover.
Yeah.
So it is something.
Is that all year round?
It sort of dies back a bit in the winter, and then it comes back in the summertime, or springtime. It's coming into growth now.
Does it harm lawns?
Now, people don't like it often growing in their lawns, which is really funny. So we're on St. Patrick's Day, people go around wearing it on their hats. And then the day after, maybe on Sunday, they'll go to the garden centre and ask for a bag of lawn weed killer, wanting to kill the shamrock, for which we're all so proud of. And these plants, which are all members of the pea family, and they have special roots. And can you just see from there, Johnny? I'm pointing to the base of the roots. These little nodules, round lumps.
Yeah.
Well, they're really good things. It's actually a bacteria which invades the plant root, and they live happily together, what they call symbiotically. And what this little bacteria does is it takes a bit of food from the plant, but it gives fertilizer to the soil for the plant.
Yeah.
So they actually are a great plant for enriching the soil. And for pasture land, clover is very important. It's very sweet for the animals to eat, and it means you have to cut down on the amount of fertilizer. So personally at home, I have no problem with clover growing in the grass.
Okay.
I don't call it a lawn, although we do cut it, and we don't go killing it. And because they produce also great flowers later on, they're really good for the environment. Bees love clover.
Do they, yeah?
Yeah, so for environmental, if you want to encourage wildlife in the garden, leave the clover. And you'll save yourself money on buying fertilisers and weed killers.
So it's good for wildlife.
It's great for wildlife.
Yeah.
And it's only bad if you want this really kind of traditional, what we call traditional English lawn, absolutely kind of like Wimbledon centre court of fine grass, which is very hard to achieve in the wilds of the west of Ireland, where I live anyway.
Mm.
And so we let it grow. And sometimes when it's in flower, we even mow around it and leave a lovely patch of pink flowers in the middle of the grass. And it's green.
Well, this time of year, Ciarán, I mean, there's a spring, it's meant to be spring, isn't it? And
yeah.
people are, I noticed the grass has grown.
Yeah.
The grass has begun to grow now. The daffodils, they came out early this year. Yep. I had somebody on the programme last week, they're doing Daffodil Day collection for cancer. It's an annual event and they were worried, slightly worried. I think they brought the day a week or two forward because they were worried that the daffodils may have died off, you
yeah.
know, because they were up early this year. But in general, this time of year, people are, you know, their mind is on the garden, I suppose, yeah?
That's it, you know, and particularly when you see these kind of drifts of daffodils, it really gives you a feel that spring is here.
It does,
and
yeah.
you should be getting out in the garden. Mm. And also you see the grass growing a bit longer and you think it will soon be a meadow, so you better get out on a dry day and cut the grass.
Yeah, that's true.
It's a great time of year, of course, because you'll see every week, if you look through the hedgerows or plants in the garden, new things are coming into leaf. So it's a very positive time. But it is good to get out to the garden maybe this long weekend and get started, bit of tidying up, cleaning up on it, so it doesn't get out of control later on.
Okay, speaking about the garden, have you had time to go back to the community garden yet? Since?
We haven't actually done a major job yet, but we are organising it in the next couple of weeks. We'll have a big day of, I think, digging out for pathways
yeah.
and things like that. So there will be certainly positive
okay.
and good action.
Well, you're keeping
that.
Busy anyways, aren't you?
Well, we've still got our new growth project onto the second week now of the course of that. So that's been really good. We had the four people back again and doing their training. And actually, we've got a second week of the video up on YouTube.
Okay.
So each week we video what the people do.
Yeah.
My neighbour Clive comes along and he's helping us out with that, and he's taking video with my camera on it. So we've got a little 5-minute video each week showing people what these four students are doing and what it's all about, the new growth project. And that's on the website, thegardenschool.ie.
And Kieran's website is Kieran Burke with a C, I-A-R-A-N, Burke.ie.
And this week we'll write a little bit about the shamrock and the potatoes.
Yeah, all right, Kieran, as always, thank you.
Thanks.
Sorry, but a bit late today, but thanks for joining us, as always, on the programme. That's it, the shamrock. So we learned something new about the shamrock today. It's shamrock tomorrow, the 17th, and then it's clover. Didn't know that one, but you learn something new every day. All right, then, Tom will be here shortly with the news. Thanks to Kieran Burke. As always, the podcast of this will go up on the on my page, John Houston Radio Show, CRC FM page, and Kieran's page, and on Kieran's website, www.kieranburkewithac.ie.
On 102.9 FM to Mayo and online at crcfm.ie. Serving Castlebar 24 hours a day. This is CRC FM.